Jesus. Great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Tonight we'll be observing a minor festival. This is Pastor Russert's favorite day in the church here. St. Luke, and I don't know, a couple of years ago, Pastor Russert had the preaching here on St. Luke Day, so that was kind of fun, too. We're going to focus on a particular aspect of the ministry of Luke, and that is God's gift of friendship. We pray God's blessings on our time together.
Tonight is also the first of our four questionings for our Catechism 2 students, and we'll be reviewing some of the basics of who God is, the law, and the Bible. And so keep our junior confirmads in your prayers as well. A couple of words on our worship service. Our opening hymn, as we heard in our prelude, Crown Him with Many Crowns, 525. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. It's on page 229 and following. Have a worship insert for our special celebration tonight. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. And just note also that our office hymn, we'll be singing the hymn that has the special verse for the minor festival we're celebrating. And so we'll sing verses 1 and 3, and in between, verse 26, which is the St. Luke verse. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for all the blessings that You shower down upon us. Tonight, we thank You for the gift of friends. Teach us what a friend is. Teach us how to be a friend, and teach us most especially about our best friend, Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for us and for our salvation. It's in His name that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 525.
Amen. page 229, we stand. O Lord, open my lips.
And I will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Hymn 518, stanzas 1, 26, and 3.
seated. The Old Testament reading for the festival of St. Luke is from Isaiah chapter 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway there shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Timothy, chapter 4. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord. that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the epistle reading that we heard from 2 Timothy chapter 4, especially these verses. Verse 16, Paul says, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me." And in verse 11, Luke alone is with me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we celebrate the feast, the minor festival of St. Luke the Evangelist. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third of the Gospels, one of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, very similar, meant to be read together. Luke, a great historian. We know things in the Gospel of Luke that we know nowhere else in Scripture. There we get the marvelous account of the nativity of our Lord, Luke chapter 2. Beloved, read even by peanuts at Christmas time. Luke 2. Here we find out also about all the events with Gabriel's visit to Mary, John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and Zechariah. In the Gospel of Luke, we have specific descriptions of the beating and crucifixion of Jesus that are no place else in Scripture, because Luke, by vocation, is not only an evangelist and a historian, he's also a physician. And we have details that only a physician could give us about the suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus endured on our behalf. Luke was a companion on the missionary journeys of Paul. There are many, many different things that we could focus on this particular evening. But tonight I want to tackle a topic that can be painful. It can also be near and dear to us. Luke alone is with me. Tonight we look at what a true friend really is. We see here in God's Word, 2 Timothy 4, the friendship that Luke had for the Apostle Paul. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Common sense, right? You might be surprised to know that the Bible, God's Word, talks a lot about friendship. The book of Proverbs says, a friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17:17. Words from a friend can be trusted. Proverbs 27:6. Do not forsake your friend. Proverbs 27:10. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. If you read the newspaper or scan the news accounts on the internet, people have been talking a lot about friendship in our country, in our society, even in our community. As the social media outlets have grown, people have more and more friends on Facebook and Twitter and all of the other social media outlets that are there, and they have fewer and fewer relationships. Maybe you've seen it. You walk into a room and there's three or four people, maybe your own family members, and they all have their nose into their smartphone. They might even be talking to each other, but not with words. We have grown and grown and grown in our ability to communicate, and in so doing, we have grown less and less and less able to cultivate and maintain a real, lasting relationship. We have forgotten what it means to have or to be a friend. The two parts of our epistle lesson that I pointed out give the extremes of friendship. In verse 18, "At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me." We know what that's like, don't we? Somebody that we thought was a friend, and when we really needed them, when we needed them to say a word, when we needed them to have our back, when we needed them to stand up for us, they let us down. They weren't there. And what's worse is when somebody that we counted on to be a friend, somebody that we thought we could trust, not only wasn't there for us, but was in reality against us, speaking or plotting behind our back, using that same social media via text or email to tear us down. My friends, we know what it's like to have a friend let us down. And it hurts. That sense of betrayal is real. And when we dwell and focus on how friends have let us down, it makes us draw into ourselves. We don't want to have friends. We would rather be all by ourselves than to have that kind of hurt and that kind of a pain. At the other end of the friendship spectrum, we have that difficult section of Scripture even for a seminary vicar to pronounce. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. I left Carpus at Troas. We have this long laundry list of could-be friends, would-be friends, should-be friends, and yet Paul is all alone. He's all alone, save one. Luke alone is with me. What is a true friend? A true friend is somebody who likes you in spite of the fact that they know you well. A friend is someone that you can count on, that you can trust, that you can pour your heart and your soul out to. Not necessarily looking for an answer or a solution or a fix to your problem, but somebody who cares enough to listen. We know what that's like, don't we? We meet somebody in the hallway at church, in the parking lot, at the grocery store, at the coffee shop. Hey, how are you today? And we don't really want an answer. And when somebody needs a friend to talk to, we send all kinds of subliminal messages, like looking at our watch, or looking to the sky, because we really don't care. My friends, we all know that there have been times when we have been let down, betrayed by friends. And we also know that there have been times when we have been the ones ourselves who have not been the friend that we could be, that we should be, that our brother and sister in Christ needed at that particular time. When it comes to friendship, sin abounds. How could Luke remain with Paul when everyone else deserted him? How can you and I be a friend to someone who is in need and be that friend indeed? My friends, none of us can do it on our own. We are by nature sinful, selfish. We are by nature so focused in on our own wants, needs, and desires that we don't have time for anyone else. It's only when that selfish passion and lust inside of us is put to death that we can begin to love and serve and be a friend as God would have us be. That last verse from Proverbs that I read, Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's only one that fulfills that verse. It's not you. It's not me. It's Jesus. Jesus knows what it's like to be let down by His friends. Jesus knows what it's like to have so-called friends tear Him down with words and deeds. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed, to be betrayed with a kiss, that which should be the model and the epitome of friendship. Jesus knows, and Jesus does something about it, taking your sin and my sin into Himself, onto Himself, bleeding and dying the death we deserve. Jesus pays the penalty for sin, for all sin, for your sin, for my sin, for sins of betrayal, for sins of lack of friendship, for sins of selfishness, for sin once and for all. We are baptized into this forgiveness of sin. We are robed with the righteousness of Christ. Now we are set free to love God and to serve our neighbor. And one of the ways that we serve our neighbor is by being a friend. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You want to know how great Jesus' love is for you? He didn't lay down his life for you because you were his friend. He laid down his life for you while you were still his enemy. That is how great the love of Jesus is. He called you friend through his sacrificial life, death, and resurrection. He has forgiven us all our sins. And he gives us now a new heart, a new will, a new desire to look not only to our own wants and needs, but to tune our ears and our hearts and our lives toward the needs of others. A friend in need is a friend indeed. That friend for you is Jesus. And he has set you free so that by the grace of God and by his strength and power, you, I, we can be friends, true friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, but not even to stop there. To all people that God brings into our path. And when they see that sacrificial love of friendship in us and going through us, not only will they wonder, why? Oh, see how they love Jesus. That will be the response. My friends, may God grant it to you, to me, to the entire world, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our friends, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we are bold to sing out for joy the love, the forgiveness, and the friendship that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We continue with the canticle, page 231. Please stand as you're able.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
welcome the name of our best friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a friend who would lay down his life and then pick it back up again 3 days later would be yours, Jesus Christ. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. For our new format for our confirmation, and we did away with grade levels, and we have confirmation 1 and confirmation 2. These students that are here tonight are part of our catechism or our confirmation 2 class. Our questioning is divided into 4 parts, so instead of one long questioning service at the end of the year, we've broken it into 4 very manageable and very bite-sized sections. So we'll be talking about God in general, we'll be talking about the law, and about the Bible. So, we have Emily Burrish, and we have 2 Emilys. The other Emily is in Pennsylvania on vacation right now. So we have Emily and Emily. We have Peyton Nichols, we have Emma Robler, we have Bella. We're going to talk loud tonight, aren't we, Bella? We might need a little help there, Brent. Bella Steinhauser. We have Sarah Stepp. And we have Disney Turek. Okay? Are you guys ready? All right. We'll make sure we have the microphone going okay. Emily, what are the 3 ways we know that there is a God?
Nature, conscience, and Bible.
Nature, conscience, and Bible. Could you hear that? Okay, all right. Of those, Peyton, which one is the most important?
The Bible.
Why is that?
It shows us how to get to heaven and tells us who God is.
Okay. We have the natural knowledge of God in our conscience and in nature, but the Bible is the revealed knowledge that tells us who the one true God is and how to get to heaven. When we're reading the Bible, we divide it into 2 main teachings or 2 main doctrines. What are those 2 main teachings or doctrines, Emma?
Law and gospel.
Law and gospel, like a good Lutheran. There we go. Law, S-O-S. That helps us remember what it is. What is that?
Shows our sin.
The law shows our sins. That was very good. That was very good. Yeah. Bella's real soft-spoken, so we're working on that tonight. Sarah, Gospel, S-O-S.
Shows our Savior.
Shows our Savior. Disney, how did God originally give the law to His people?
He wrote it on their hearts.
He wrote it on their hearts. We call that a conscience. Later on, God wrote down the law. What do we call that?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. Now, this happened in real time. Who did God give, what human being did God give the Ten Commandments to?
Moses.
Moses. And where specifically, geographically, historically, did this take place?
On Mount Sinai.
On Mount Sinai. Probably a good time to review the Ten Commandments, huh? First commandment.
You shall have no other gods.
That's a good one. Yes, you shall have no other gods. Second commandment.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
Very good. Third commandment.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
All right, good job. Now, that means go to church, right? Yes. All right, and when you're on the end, you got to do two of them. Fourth commandment.
Honor your father and your mother.
Yeah, your mom paid me to have you say that one. All right, fifth commandment.
You shall not murder.
Sixth commandment.
You shall not commit adultery.
Seventh commandment.
You shall not steal.
Eighth commandment.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Ninth commandment.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
Tenth commandment.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Very good. What one word, and if you were in church last Sunday and heard Vicar preach, you'll be able to answer this question as well. What one word summarizes the law?
Love.
Love. Love. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Bible. The Bible teaches us that it is inspired. What does that word inspired mean, the way the Bible or God uses it?
God breathed.
God breathed. That means God is the one who wrote the Bible. Now, there is a specific Bible passage that teaches us about the inspiration of the Scripture. 2 Peter 1:21.
For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Awesome. And so if God is the one who wrote the Bible, and if the Bible is God-breathed through human beings, we can also say that the Bible is inerrant. What does that word inerrant mean?
Without error.
Without error. That means that we can trust it fully and completely. All right. We said that the Bible teaches us who the one true God is. Who is the one true God?
The triune God.
The triune God. And what that word triune or trinity, what does that word mean?
Three persons in one God?
Yes, three in one. Three persons in one God in three persons. So, Peyton, who are the three persons of the Holy Trinity?
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All right, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to get into more of this next questioning when we study the Creed, but to give you a preview of coming attractions, what two jobs do we ascribe to God the Father?
Creation and preservation.
Creation and preservation. He made everything and He keeps it going. What job do we ascribe to God the Son?
Justification.
Justification. He declares us righteous on account of Jesus. And what job do we ascribe to God the Holy Spirit?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. He makes us holy. And we'll get more into that the next time. When we study the Ten Commandments, it makes us very, very aware of our own sin. Disney, what is sin?
Any transgression against God's law or missing the mark.
Okay, any transgression against God's law, that's the Ten Commandments. And the Greek word for sin in the New Testament is hamartia. It literally means missing the mark or missing the bullseye. Like a bow and arrow and not hitting the bullseye, that's sin. God demands perfection and we don't do it. So, Sarah, what three enemies tempt us to sin? This is sometimes called the unholy Trinity.
The devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
The devil, the world, and our sinful nature, or our flesh. So, Bella, what are the two types of sin?
Natural sin and original sin.
Actual sin and original sin. What is original sin?
Sin we were born with.
The sin we were born with. We inherited it all the way back to Adam and Eve. What are the two types of actual sin?
Commission and omission.
Sins of commission and sins of omission. Emily, are you ready for this? This is kind of a tongue twister here. What is a sin of commission?
Doing something you're not supposed to.
When we do something we're not supposed to do, like lip off to pastor in catechism class, that would be a sin of commission. What then is a sin of omission?
Not doing something you're supposed to do.
Not doing something you're supposed to do, like not doing your memory work. Okay? There we got it. So, when we study the sin, it makes us when we study the law, it makes us very, very aware of our sin. So maybe we should just try harder. Is it possible, Peyton, to be saved by observing the law?
No.
No! No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. Well, if we can't be saved by observing the law, what do we need?
Our Savior.
We need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. All right. Great job. Great job. That's it. That's part one of our questioning. I think it's okay if you want to clap. They did great. All right. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. Please stand.
In addition to the prayers as listed in your news and notes, we also remember John Regal, who is hospitalized currently and anticipating a bypass surgery tomorrow morning. We continue with the Kyrie, page 233. Almighty God, our Father, your blessed Son called Luke the physician to be an evangelist and physician of the soul. Grant that the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments may put to flight the diseases of our souls, that with willing hearts we may ever love and serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world, through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Be with all pastors, especially Dr. Allman and his family, as they move to Texas, to Houston, to fulfill his call as an associate pastor and minister of music. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your grace according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Joyce, Marge, Diane, Bob, and John, both looking toward surgery tomorrow. And for all who mourn, especially the family of Linda Ahrens, whose father was taken to his heavenly home this week, and for the family of Larry Eisenman, laid to rest this afternoon. We pray for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares. Help us to trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy, lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, we trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and to answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Closing hymn 664, you may be seated.
Jesus, our best friend, who enables us to be friends to one another. A friend tells us what we need to hear, not necessarily what we want to hear. A friend points us to God's Word, not away from God's Word. A friend encourages us to be in God's house with our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. May God richly bless us with friends like that and to be a friend like that. I got word right before the service started tonight. The funeral service for Linda Aaron's father, Daryl Sayer, will be at Emmanuel down on about 12th and South, Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. So I know we have many folks in our congregation and especially in our school family that are anxious to help and support the Aaron's family in their time of mourning. We have Bible study in the fellowship hall, Psalm 119. We have choir up in the balcony. Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the other activities and events happening in the days ahead. Do you want to say anything about tomorrow or what did you say you have going on tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning? Pastor's Conference. And it's a joint pastor-teacher conference. No school the next 2 days, and so we may be a little bit more elusive Thursday and Friday because of this conference. But it's right here in Lincoln, so we're not going to be out of town or anything like that. Vicar, anything? Yeah, Lifelight tomorrow at 1. Lifelight tomorrow at 1. I think that's all. Have a great day and week in Jesus Christ.